Let's open with a word of prayer briefly. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word this evening, and I just pray that you will use it as you see fit. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, to share in fellowship, and to share in a prayer time a little bit later. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I woke up Monday morning, and I had all kinds of things running through my mind, and I couldn't write things down fast enough to get this message together. And so this is going to be a little more than 3 minutes. I apologize. I do have a 3-minute devotional that I was thinking about, and I will use at some point, Lord willing. But I wasn't sure what to do. Carol and I talked about it some, and it's like this is going to be a little too short to do for a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening if I have the opportunity to do that sometime. But I just want to take a few minutes to share a few brief thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I hope I'm not just talking to myself here. Sometimes I think I am. I get a bright idea, and it's like, well, maybe it's more for me than it is for the rest of us. But we'll see here, okay? So I ask your indulgence as I give a little bit of my personal testimony, and we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture here. And I want to impress one main thought upon you this evening. Do not be afraid to do the Lord's work when he presents you with an opportunity to serve him. Here's what the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, it was refreshing to me to hear Brother Chester Lohman remind us this past Sunday that God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. That's a thought that he shared with me back in 2015 before Carol and I started coming here to Northwood. His encouragement enticed me to start coming to church here. I hadn't been attending church regularly for about 10 years, and I'll spare you the details of all that. But I was not happy at that time whenever Carol and I first met with Brother Chester and Jeanette. I had come to a point where I wasn't sure if the Lord could even use me anymore. Carol was at a point where she was ready to change churches. So the Lord led us here. I've never been in a church as welcoming, accepting, and loving as Northwood Baptist. And may that kind of love continue among us, and may that love minister to all who walk through our church doors. When I was at my low point back in 2015, I was afraid. I feared that God had set me aside and put me on a shelf because of pride and disobedience. And as I got back into God's Word more regularly, I soon became afraid that God wanted me to do something, but I felt inadequate to accomplish whatever he had in mind. And as time went on, I began to step tentatively out in faith and respond to opportunities that seemed to come along. And I began to understand three things. First, our Lord was unbelievably merciful, by letting me come back to him and his people. And second, God equips those he calls to serve him. And third, the Lord took away the worst of my fears about serving him. As an old song says it, there is joy in serving Jesus. God has blessed me with ministry opportunities that I never dreamed were possible. I once heard a preacher say something to the effect that if you want to be something in the Lord's kingdom, you must reckon yourself as nothing. Well, it's such a blessing, and it's so fulfilling to serve in various capacities here at Northwood and in the ministries to the blind, which the Lord has led me into. It's an honor to serve our great God, and it's humbling, too. Well, as Carol often reminds me, this is not about me, so let's consider the message of Ephesians 2:10, which applies to each one of us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's follow the thought that Paul expresses here. For we are his workmanship, God has carefully crafted each one of us. He's made each one of us just the way we are. We each have distinct personalities, interests, and abilities. Furthermore, we are created in Christ Jesus. As believers in Christ, he has made us new creatures or creations. But he hasn't created us merely to have a happy life or to serve ourselves. He has created us unto good works, but not just any good works. We have been created to do those things which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that tells us that God does indeed have a plan and a purpose for you and me, and he wants us to live out that plan and purpose. Our whole lifestyle should be directed by the works that God has ordained or appointed long ago for us to do. Now, turn in your Bible, if you would, to John 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Whenever we're walking with the Lord, we do his works because we love him. And there's a wonderful benefit in that. Listen to the promise that Jesus gave his disciples in John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Think about that. There's great reward in loving and serving the Lord in the here and now. We'll experience more of his love, and he'll show us more of himself. I want to know the Lord better, and you do too, right? I'm sure you do. So turn, if you would, to Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. This will be the last verse we go to here, although I'm going to mention a couple others. But it's Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. The works that God wants us to carry out are meant to be evidence of our salvation. And I think we all know that good works are not the way to earn salvation or to earn points with God once we are saved. Whenever Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he was in prison. He couldn't be with them in person. That church, no doubt, had a pastor, but they owed a great deal to Paul's teachings and to his noteworthy influence on them. Paul had left quite a mark on them. In the first part of Philippians chapter 2, Paul exhorted the Philippians to have a servant's heart. They were to look to Christ as the ultimate example of serving and sacrifice. And with that in mind, here's what he said in verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When Paul exhorted the Philippians to work out your own salvation, he was telling them that their lives should exhibit or demonstrate their salvation, or to give evidence that they were saved. As someone has said, you can't work out something if it isn't worked in. But the Philippians were to put their salvation on display with fear and trembling. In other words, don't be aggressive, don't be a bull in a china shop, you know. Be humble, and don't get the idea that you can do this in your own power. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, Paul said this, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, we know that the great apostle Paul boldly and brilliantly proclaimed God's truth wherever he went. And yet, he did so with fear and trembling. And we might wonder, how could that be? If that's how it was with Paul, who am I to tell us to not be afraid to do the Lord's work? Well, let's understand that fear did not stop Paul from doing the work that the Lord gave him to do. So how did he do what he did? How did he expect the Philippians, as well as you and me, to work out our salvation? And this is where Philippians 2:13 comes into play. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice some key truths here. God is the source of power and enablement. God is at work in us, especially if we truly want to do what he has called us to do. God's Holy Spirit dwells within each of us. It's the Lord himself who empowers and enables us to do His will. He's the one who empowers and enables us to do that which gives Him pleasure. So here's something else to consider. God knows full well that being afraid to do His work is not unusual. He knows we're just flesh. So think of the number of times that God told great men like Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that we have not been given the spirit of fear. Instead, we've been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. I've heard it said that courage is fear faced with resolution. Well, I would like to amend that definition. I'll amend it like this. Courage is fear faced with resolution to submit to the Lord in love. Again, courage is fear faced with resolution to submit to the Lord in love. So far this evening, I've spoken in general terms here, but what about some specifics? What opportunities are there for you and me to serve the Lord? Honestly, I don't know exactly what the Lord would have you do, but we do have a church that needs to keep functioning. Remember, this is the Lord's church. You know, we may be without a pastor right now, but Christ is ultimately the head of this church. And we need to continually seek Him if we are to do His work and His will. Opportunities to serve the Lord will present themselves as time goes on, and the Lord will make them plain to you and me if our eyes and ears are open. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to rise to the challenges set before us? We don't know how long this transitional phase will last before the Lord brings His man to us. I suggest we think of it as an adventure. Our faith may be put to the test. Sometimes we might feel like we're spinning our wheels or just treading water to keep the doors open. We're going to have to be flexible as we work through some things together. And, you know, this is a time for us to be unified and pull the wagon in the same direction, if I can put it that way. And boy, do we ever need to pray for each other more than ever. So I want to conclude with just a couple of quick thoughts. One, again, just let me remind us, don't be afraid to do the Lord's work right here at Northwood. And the other quick little thought is, once I heard a preacher say that a happy church is a working church. Shall we put that to the test? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your word. Thank You for Your encouragement to us. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your love for us. Help us to be receptive and sensitive to Your love. And may we do that which pleases You. Again, I just thank You and we give You praise. I pray these things in Jesus' name.